It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's tax day, Tony. Have you filed your returns?
I'm Tony Kornheiser, please. Taxes are for nerds. No.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess, what about the people who just want to stay out of jail? What do we call them?
There are actually a group of golfers in particular who don't think they should pay income tax. And they say things like, well, we don't have contracts like people in baseball or football or basketball. And you go, it's income tax.
Income.
You make income, money, dude. You pay taxes. And they don't think that's fair. So
I like that jacket. Very nice jacket, by the way, Easter week. Very nice.
Thank you. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Sixers look solid, Anthony Edwards looks spectacular, and Roki Sasaki's manager looks questionable after pulling him during his second straight perfect game. But we begin today with the best NBA game of the weekend, Boston's last-second layup-driven win over Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving was the best player on the floor, scoring 39 points, but he was thwarted in his last possession, giving the Celtics the opportunity to win. Well, Boston goes up 1-0, but they lost an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter. So should the Nets gain confidence from this game despite the results?
No. No, Tony. And I realize the result could have gone the other way. And I don't know if the Nets should have gained all that much confidence, Tone. Here's the reason. I said yesterday that I don't roll with teams that don't play defense. That's why I've picked the Celtics and will stay with them to win this series and would have stayed with them if they were down 0-1. Because, Tony, that last sequence, one of the great playoff sequences in, years, where there's a masterclass put on by the Celtics to play defense against first Kyrie and then KD. And KD got a heave off, but that if they score there, they make it tough for the Celtics, right? And they can't win with a layup. On the other hand, you look at what happens at the end. Kyrie, I don't want to blame Kyrie and KD because they were great in that game. And Kyrie, my God, he was great. But he reaches a thing that you know we've all been taught since we were in third grade. Don't reach. Stay straight up defense, because that would have cost Jason Tatum the extra tenth of a second, perhaps, to get that shot off. And KD was, like, looking for a man to guard. He's like Jim Valvano after winning the national championship. Didn't know who to hug. And that don't work. Brooklyn didn't play defense. Boston did. Right. I'm taking the team that plays defense all the time.
I'm going to echo much of what you said, because the Celtics' last possession on defense and their last possession on offense were right out of a textbook. They were things of beauty. On offense, after Durant misses that shot and Horford gets the rebound, before the ball gets to Tatum, three different Celtics get their hands on the ball. They're in no particular rush to shoot. They're looking what goes on. The ball is over on the left side. Smart gets the ball in his hands on the left side. The clock is winding down. He's paying no attention. Tatum cuts for the basket. He throws a cross-court pass. Boom, layup. I mean, you just say to yourself, these are things of beauty. Where you and I differ is in this. The two best players on the floor are Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And if they get hot together, I think they will win. I just wanted to add a small note, Mike, about Kyrie Irving giving the finger to the Boston fans, and everybody talks about that. The Boston fans hate Kyrie Irving because he lied to them and he walked out on them. And they treat him terribly all the time. So in my mind, Mike, if he does that one gesture, it sort of continues the drama. It doesn't bother me terribly because I know he has the money to pay the fine.
I'm of two minds about it. It doesn't bother me terribly because I was a hothead when I played sports. You saw the end of that era. And I understand it. I understand going back at them. And, then, you know, if they want to come at him like that, I'm fine with that. And I'm fine with him going back. Yeah. But he is such a self-absorbed little egomaniac. And I think about people like Bill Russell playing in Boston and the not just slights, but just really ugly stuff that people there have faced. And Kyrie Irving, who knows nothing of it, most likely, even though he's a really smart guy, he knows nothing or he cares nothing about it. And he's just an egomaniac and he's so self-absorbed. You know what? I'm looking toward more of that in game two. I really am, both ways. I don't care what they do to him because he did lie to them and to their faces. And I don't care if he goes back at them because they can be creeps and jerks and bigots at times. And I know some of the stuff they say because the only time I've ever been called the N-word, which I shouldn't even clean it up that way, to my face by somebody white was in Boston Garden back in the day. So I know how that feels. Kyrie Irving thinks he's the first. Really? 2 days after we just celebrated Jackie Robinson, you think you're the guy who gets called bad stuff? Shut up. My God. Let's stay in the East for the Sixers beating the Raptors in game one. Tyrese Maxey led Philly with 38, including 21 in the third alone, in a 20-point beatdown. James Harden shot just 6 for 17, but had 14 assists and just one turnover. So, Tone, did Harden's performance make you more confident the Sixers can rely on him in the playoffs?
So, I would say that the Celtics game was the best game of the weekend, but this game, the Sixers game, to me, was the most significant game of the weekend. They killed Toronto. C-I-L-L killed Toronto. I sat in this chair on Friday, and I said, I didn't see how this series could even go more than five games because the Sixers had Embiid and Harden, who were the best two players on the court by a lot. And so I figured they're going to win easily. But I was cautioned by the fact that Toronto had won three of the four games this year. I didn't really understand that. I was concerned about it. I am not concerned about that now. Philadelphia is a far superior team in my mind to Toronto. They scored 131 points. To get to Harden, I'll do this briefly on Harden. 6 for 17 stinks. It's indefensible for a mediocre player, let alone a great player. But if you tell me, Mike, that the guy with his hands on the ball all the time had 14 assists and one turnover, I'm going to roll with that. I'm going to roll with that, and I'll tell you I'm not worried about him.
Well, Tone, there's less reason to worry now, too, because Scottie Barnes, who I voted for Rookie of the Year, Toronto's ace rookie, he's apparently going to be out for game two, and that hurts their chances. And they got other injuries as well. So, you know, Gary Trent Jr. So Toronto is all of a sudden in a tough place. But let me just say this, Tone. James Harden, the pressure on him, which you and I said, when James Harden said he didn't have any pressure, you and I were like, no, you do have pressure. Tony, the pressure lessens when Tyrese Maxey, this weekend was largely about the young guns. When I say young guns, I mean people 21, 22, 23 years old, like Maxey. Tony, Maxey's a terrific two-way player. And let me just say this. James Harden may be the second-best player on Philadelphia right now, like this minute, but maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not by the end of this series. Tyrese Maxey's a two-way player. All right? And he doesn't have the baggage that James Harden's had. You said it's unforgivable. James Harden, we've seen him go 3-for-17 in a game seven. So we've seen Harden do that. My confidence, elevated confidence in Philly, has to do with Maxey. You know, that he's the kid on that team that's going to make that go with Joel Embiid. And if Harden has less pressure and he can just facilitate and be that teammate, which he appears very willing to be, then Philly can go as far as anybody in these playoffs.
We will stay in the NBA with what will be considered the biggest upset of the weekend, Minnesota going to Memphis and beating the Grizzlies by 13. Memphis was always within striking distance, but they never struck. John Morant shot poorly, but he got 32 points. Karl-Anthony Towns got 29 points and 13 rebounds. But what about Anthony Edwards? Had 36 points. Is it possible he could be the best player in this series?
Yes. It's possible. And I'm going to give you credit, because I know about a month now you've had this big man crush on Anthony Edwards, and you're looking pretty good. Because, Tony, he doesn't just look talented, and yes, in the talent level of Ja Morant, all right, who, if he hadn't missed so many games, would be first team all league and maybe runner-up MVP if he hadn't missed like 25 games. Anthony Edwards is intimidating. His talent, Tony, makes him at times look like a menace. And you look at him and some of the stuff he's doing, the jump shot, the linebacker physique, and you just go, oh, my goodness, this guy is potentially unstoppable. And he has got the edge. He's got the personality to make it stick. And so do I think that Ja Morant is the best player in the series? Yes. Do I think that Memphis is just the kind of team to overplay their hand? Yes. That's why you don't bet on really young teams in the playoffs. But, man, Anthony Edwards, he's a revelation, Tone. He is.
Yeah. So I listened with amusement, as people said after the game. Anthony Edwards just got 36 points in his first playoff game ever. And I thought to myself, well, what was the play-in game? The season was over, and they were playing for the seventh seed. To me, that was a playoff game. He got 30 in that game. So by my calculation, Mike, he's got 66 points in his first two playoff games of all time. And I would ask this question. What did Jordan have? Oh, don't look it up because I looked it up. He had 53. I'm just saying that Anthony Edwards looked good. I know Jordan the next year had 62 in one game, and I understand that, but these are his first two. I think Ja Morant's the best player on the court. I think Memphis will probably win, but I will say this about Minnesota. They got two number one overall picks. They got Edwards and Towns. Yeah. I believe their third guy, I believe Russell is a number two overall pick, the same as Ja Morant, right? So I'm saying they've got a squad. So don't be terribly surprised if they do well in this series. And, Mike, they were the biggest surprise of the year. They were plus 23 in wins. Plus 23 from last year.
Tone, what's cool about this series going forward is they're the two mouthiest teams, if you listen to other players in the league, if not the two mouthiest, two of the mouthiest, and they go at it. And they just have young, brash guys that we have not seen on the playoff stage. It is good, Tony, it is. So I hope that the people who, you know, are traditionalists don't go crazy. But my goodness, how entertaining is this so far?
Let's take a break. But coming up, how can you pull a pitcher going for a second straight perfect game? What?
And I know it's hard to get beyond that. Did this shot out of the Spanish Moss really deserve to be penalized by the PGA Tour?
Two-shot penalty because he went straight at it and didn't stand to the side.
That's crazy. Get rid of that.
Come on.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's obnoxious.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
It's mail time where you mail it in. We usually mail it in, but this time
mail
you
time.
Mail it in, and I'll see what's first here. How should Roky Sasaki feel about being pulled after the eighth inning while going for his second straight perfect game?
I mean, you know, Tony, you and I always talk about, and we seem to be the only ones who talk about it on any network, about Johnny Vandermeer having back-to-back no-hitters and how that would be, if you broke that, that's the greatest record of all time. Okay, back-to-back perfectos? Are you kidding me? And, Tony, I didn't know that analytics were ruining sport internationally. I guess naively I thought it was just national, just domestically, that general manager and his assistant GM and numbers crunchers and analytics geeks were ruining it by calling on some phone from the executive office and saying, take him out, he's throwing too many pitches. This is going on in Japan? Are you kidding me? This is depressing news, as brilliant as the performances are for this young dude. And I think his catcher's like sub 20 years old. Unbelievable. And they ruined it, Tone. They ruined it.
So this to me is not Clayton Kershaw. I defended taking Clayton Kershaw out. Clayton Kershaw had elbow trouble last year, missed a lot of games. Clayton Kershaw is old. Dodgers need him to be healthy through the year. This is, as you say, this is Vandermeer times 10 if it's two perfectos. If you get that, nobody will ever forget your name in the history of sports. The kid is 20. I guess I sort of thought because he was 20, his arm would be supple enough that you wouldn't have to take him out. The first perfect game, he threw 105 pitches. He struck out 19, which I think means he didn't even go to two ball count on any batter. This was 102 pitches, and he had already struck out 14. Mike, I would have left him in for the ninth, hoping that my team won the game. I think the manager gets off the hook a little bit. I think the manager gets off the hook a little bit because it went into extra innings. And I don't know that I would let him keep pitching and keep pitching. But
yeah,
I would have liked to have seen that. Let me see what's next.
How quickly do the Dodgers and the Yankees get into a bidding war over this kid whenever it comes to them? How quickly?
He'll be in the major leagues next year.
What's your over-under? 23 years old before that happens?
He'll be in the major leagues next year, I would think. Secondly, should the PGA Tour be penalizing Dylan Fratelli's shot or celebrating it?
No. I want to let you carry this one because you were watching this. I couldn't watch golf over the weekend. I was too absorbed with basketball. But take us through this, Tone.
Okay, so he's in. This is at the Hilton Head Tournament in South Carolina in what is called the Low Country. He's got a ball actually trapped in a tree. It's in the Spanish moss. I have played South Carolina courses where there is Spanish moss. When you walk under them and you get your head in them, you get your head knocked back. This is thick stuff. He's in a tree. I cannot say this emphatically enough. He's in a tree. And he punches out of it. And by the way, Jordan Spieth won a tournament. He didn't have to come out of a tree. He punches out 20 feet, 30 feet. He gets on the actual surface of the hole. And then he pars the hole, and they penalize him two shots. He parred the hole from a tree. Come on. That's ridiculous. I did watch the tournament. I liked the tournament, Mike. I did.
Yeah.
So they're both in the sand, Jordan Spieth and Patrick Cantlay, on the first playoff hole. And I didn't know how Patrick Cantlay got there, because 10 minutes before on the same hole, on 18, the same hole, he had a great shot to 12 feet. He's short on this one. He's in the sand in a fried egg. Nick Faldo says, it's a fried egg. Like, you're never going to get out of
like
this.
Like, they can't and Jordan manage Spieth, that, yeah.
Jordan Spieth he's money in the sand. Mike, he hits it to 3 inches. It's 3 inches.
It's Jordan Spieth, he wins.
And Cantlay could not tie.
But Fratelli should not have been penalized. You got to change that rule.
No.
I understand they don't want people
penalized
going
at
croquet
all.
Style on the green, but come on.
That's different. And by the way, you know what you get for this? You get that tartan plaid sport coat. I wish I had one of them. Thanks for mailing it in, kids. Let's take one last break. Still to come, I needle Wilbon as the Bulls lose game one to the Bucks.
You're wearing stylish plaid right now. Is that Xenia from Chauncey you got up there in the attic? Don't try to back your way out of that.
It's not Xenia. It's not
Justin
Xenia.
Verlander this does something he hasn't jacket. Done in nearly 2 years. That looks like Xenia to me.
No, I wish. My sport jacket's in the attic box. Cost about.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Happy time, people. Happy 39th birthday, Miguel Cabrera. Miggy is coming to the end of his Major League career, and what a career it's been. There's a plaque in Cooperstown awaiting him. He was a World Series champion in 2003 with the Florida Marlins. In Detroit, Cabrera won the Triple Crown in 2012. He was the MVP in the American League in 2012 and 13. He's an 11-time All-Star. Over the course of his career, Cabrera is a .310 hitter, 502 home runs, 1,807 RBI, and he needs just five more hits to reach 3,000. Imagine what a star he'd be if he had played in either New York or Los Angeles.
Only four players in history so far, Tony, have 500 home runs and a lifetime batting average better than Miggy's .310. How about this list? Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, Jimmy Fox, Manny Ramirez. That's a wow. All-time great.
That is a good list. Happy anniversary, Mark Burley. On this day 15 years ago, Burley faced a minimum of 27 batters as he pitched a 6-0 no-hitter, leading the White Sox over the Texas Rangers. Burley walked Sammy Sosa in the fifth inning, then promptly picked him off first. Burley was a quick and efficient pitcher who once struck out 12 Mariners in a complete game victory that took only 99 minutes. Burley also pitched a perfect game against Tampa Bay in 2009. He is one of only seven pitchers with both a no-hitter and a perfect game. And that list is Cy Young, Addie Joss, Jim Bunning, Sandy Koufax, Randy Johnson, Roy Halladay, and Burley.
Tone, you talk about burning bright. I mean, I realize he didn't have the sort of career to get serenaded. But when those are your highlights, I mean, that's a drop the glove on the mound moment and take a walk.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. Happy trails to three Pitt Panthers. Pittsburgh had the bases loaded yesterday afternoon against the University of Virginia in the fifth. Pittsburgh batter grounded to third. UVA third baseman threw home for the force out. Then the UVA catcher threw to first for the second out. The UVA first baseman, Devin Ortiz, thought that was three outs, tossed the ball to the pitcher's mound casually. So the Pittsburgh runner on third broke for home. Realizing his mistake, Ortiz retrieved the ball, flung it to the catcher to complete a most weird triple play. The last time Virginia got a triple play, Mike, was in 2004 when their star third baseman, Ryan Zimmerman, started it.
Wow. You need to pay more attention to college baseball now. One of the many reasons is there's so little minor league baseball. You know, baseball development is not just the bigs you can pay attention to. There's a lot of entertaining and terrific baseball out there. So college baseball, I got to start paying more attention, Tony.
One omission, this year's version of the match, the golf tournament, will feature Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Are you intrigued?
No. Where's the humor or entertainment value in that? Barkley? Peyton Manning? No, I'm not. You?
Where's Phil is the question. We go to the big finish. Mike Trout is day-to-day after leaving yesterday's game after getting hit by a pitch on his left hand. It never stops.
No, Tony, it's Groundhog Day. Sadly, it never stops. Justin Verlander pitched 3-hit ball over 8 for his first win since July 2020. That's impressive, isn't it?
Very impressive. 3 hits, going 8. Come on, that's really good. He's been out for a long time. The Athletic reports the Panthers have interest in Baker Mayfield. Does that make sense?
Any starting quarterback going anywhere is completely overhyped. It makes sense. Is it a big deal? Not yet, not to me. Braves and Dodgers tonight. You intrigued?
Yes, because Freddie Freeman is going to play against his former team, and Clayton Kershaw is going to be on the mound. I am intrigued by that. Last one, Bulls lost, but the Suns won. So on balance, are you happy or sad?
Well, I knew the Suns were going to win. They played really well. The Bulls, they fought back. They were scared of Milwaukee when the game got started, but they fought back. They played defense. They climbed back in, and they couldn't hit a shot to save their lives. My goodness. I'm angry.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and it's a Brooks Brothers jacket.
They were nearly as scared of the Bucks as the officials were in that game. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
Good job out of you.
ETI.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.